Gracious and eternal Father in heaven, we do thank you that we can worship thee through Christ, and we worship Christ as God. And we thank you, Lord, that we can come before thee this morning joyfully and triumphant because Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Bless the ministry of thy word to us now. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. May I speak that, Lord, which thou hast laid upon our heart, and that which is from thee, and may it find a resting place in hearts to bring forth fruit. And Lord, should there be any in this service that are not right with God, bring them today to the experience that the shepherds had and save their soul. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As you take your seat, I would ask you to turn again to Luke chapter 2. Throughout the scripture, you will read or you will discover many, many prophecies and many proclamations regarding the coming of the promised Messiah into the world. However, when the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, was actually born, the record is very brief. In fact, we could summarize the biblical record of Christ's birth into six scenes. You have the angelic announcement to Mary in Luke chapter 1. And subsequently she went and met with her cousin Elizabeth, who was expecting John the Baptist. Then secondly, you have the scene where Joseph was going to put Mary away privately because he simply didn't believe that she had conceived of the Holy Ghost. He thought she had been unfaithful and been with another man, and he was going to put her away, but he had this angelic dream where he was told to take Mary to be his wife, for that which was born of her was conceived of the Holy Ghost. That's recorded in Matthew 1. We might describe the third scene as Joseph and Mary's journey to Bethlehem from Nazareth to be registered for the purposes of tax. And they make their way to Bethlehem. The inns are all full, and so Mary gives birth in the stable in Bethlehem and lays her son in the manger. The fourth scene we might describe as the shepherds, the angelic announcement to the Judean shepherds and their visit to the stable and to see the Christ child in the manger. The fifth scene we might describe as Christ's dedication in the temple in Luke chapter 2, when after approximately 6 weeks, Mary and Joseph took the baby Jesus to the temple and offered the sacrifice for him. The sixth scene we might describe as the wise men, their journey from the east, their visit to the Christ child in the house, and subsequently Mary and Joseph's flight to Egypt. Out of all those scenes, I think the experience of the Judean shepherds is as well known as any. Keeping their sheep at night, the angel of the Lord and then an angelic host appeared unto them, proclaiming that the Messiah was born, identifying where the Messiah would be found. They made haste. They went quickly to see if it was as the angels had said. And this morning, I want to take as my text, though we'll look at the entire passage that we read, but I want to take verse 8 as my text, and I want to focus in on the shepherds. It simply says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And I want to focus upon the shepherds this morning because their experience in this passage is a perfect picture and example of true biblical conversion. What happened to them is an example of true biblical conversion. When a sinner is saved, When a sinner gets right with God, they have virtually the same experience as the shepherd. An angelic host will not visibly appear, but what took place spiritually will take place and happen in the life of one who gets right with God. I have five short points this morning, and we might call them the five steps of conversion. So as we consider the shepherds, let us think about the five steps of conversion and ask you the question, are you converted? And is this experience your experience? I want you firstly to notice the revelation that they encountered. If you look at verse 8, you will see that these were ordinary men. They were common men. And they were going about their ordinary task. They were keeping watch over their flock by night. I suppose, and I have no difficulty saying this morning, this is one reason why we probably believe the Lord wasn't born in December, though it has become traditional to remember and consider His birth at this time of the year, because the sheep weren't on the hills in the winter months. And so it was probably earlier in the year. But the shepherds had their flocks upon the hills, and they were diligently looking after their sheep. They were there with them. They were going about their lives as normal. They were going about their business as normal, as humble shepherds there in the evening time, during the night watches. They were on the hills with their sheep, making sure they were safe, when all of a sudden, in the midst of the darkness of the night, an angel of the Lord appeared. And the glory of the Lord was revealed to them. Look at verse 9. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. The angel of the Lord, and I don't know what form that angel took, but an angel of the Lord appeared, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. In other words, they were confronted with the reality and the glory and the message of the Lord. And that is where every sinner's experience of God's salvation begins. God revealing Himself as the God of glory, the Creator, the Ruler, the Sovereign God who is over all, who dwells in light unapproachable, and who rules over all. Wasn't that Abraham's experience? Just turn over to Acts chapter 7 and verse 2. Abraham was born in a family that had given itself over to idolatry, that had no knowledge of the true God of heaven. And at 75 years of age, we're told in Acts 7 and verse 2, men and brethren and fathers, hearken, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran. While he dwelt in Mesopotamia, while he was engaged in idolatrous worship, while he was going about his daily life and his usual business, the God of glory appeared unto him and revealed himself to Abraham as the God of glory. And in the same sense, God revealed himself to the shepherds through the angel, and revealed His glory unto them. And I am saying to you that that is where every sinner that comes to saving grace and a saving knowledge of Christ, that's where their experience with God begins. God revealing Himself by His Word and through His Spirit. I want to be very clear today. An angelic host will not appear to you in the sky as you lie in your bed at night, or as you go about your business. But by His Word and the application of His Word to your heart, God will reveal to you that He exists and He is the God of glory, and He will impress it upon your heart. And until and unless the Lord reveals Himself to you, you say, you will live in sin, you will linger in sin, and you will be lost in sin if God is not revealed in your soul and in your heart. You might have a Christian upbringing. You might sit under gospel preaching. But unless and until God specifically and personally steps into your life and reveals Himself that He is the Creator of all, He is the Savior of the world, He is the Judge of all, you will linger in darkness, you will remain blinded in sin, and you will perish in sin. But I wonder, as I speak this morning, is there someone in the meeting and God has been revealing Himself to you? As you've gone about your business, your schoolwork, your employment, your daily tasks and duties, the Lord has been speaking to your heart and showing you that He is, and He is the God of glory. Don't resist Him. Don't rebel against Him. Don't reject Him. I want you to notice, secondly, in the experience of these shepherds, there was not only a revelation they encountered, there was a trepidation or a fear that they experienced. For look at the end of verse 9. It says, and they were sore afraid. You know, when God starts to take a dealing with men and women in their sin, there's a holy fear that comes upon their soul. Not a mocking, not a jesting, not a the old saying, tomfoolery, that we just take it or leave it. We can accept God or we can reject Him. There's a fear, a godly awe and fear when God starts to deal with a sinner and He reveals Himself to that individual. That sinner realizes that God is holy, God is righteous, God is just, God is all-powerful and omnipotent. And they realize that they are puny, they are weak, they are sinful, they are mortal, they are frail and feeble. And they are nothing as they appear before the God of glory. That trepidation was described by Robert Murray McShane, the Scottish preacher, minister, in his famous hymn that we sing so often. He said, when free grace awoke me, it's grace that awakens the sinner to the reality of God, their need of salvation. That's what happened to those shepherds. It was the grace of God that sent the angel and the glory of the Lord to reveal God to them. And McShane said, when free grace awoke me by light from on high. Oh, he didn't see the angels either. He didn't have the glory of the Lord light up his little bedroom or whatever, but the Word of God preached, the Spirit of God quickened it in his soul, and it was like light from on high. He said, then legal fear shook me, and I trembled. I trembled to die. And that's what those shepherds were fearful for. They were trembling as sinners in the presence of the Lord God Almighty. My friend, do you know anything about it? Have you experienced it? What it means to be a sinner out of Christ in your sin before God. Paul experienced it too. He was on his way to Damascus. He was going with the intention to rebel against God and to persecute the church and to put to death God's people in that city, those Jews that had turned to Jesus Christ. He was on a mad career of sin and persecution. And yet the light shone from heaven. There it is again. The light of the gospel is being revealed to him. And God spoke to him. And what does it say in Acts 9 and 6? He fell to the ground, by the way. And it says he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He was trembling. Big, brave Paul. And he wasn't big at all. History tells us he was just a little man. But he was going to do the devil's dirty work and put to death or persecute and haul off to jail the Christians. And yet whenever the light of the gospel shone, he trembled and he quaked in his shoes. My friends, it's conviction of sin. Conviction of sin. Where God strikes the stoutest, most rebellious sinner through and starts that cry, what must I do? He makes men weep till born anew. And I'm asking you, do you know anything about the conviction of the Holy Ghost in your heart? Jesus said when he has come, John 16 and 8, he will convince the world of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. He shows you you're a sinner. He shows you that God is righteous. He shows you there's a judgment, and to stand before God in your sin in judgment will be to perish. When God's dealing with a sinner to bring him to Christ, he causes him to fear and tremble. Have you experienced it? The revelation these shepherds encountered, God revealed himself to them. The trepidation or the fear they experienced, they were sore afraid. And if you're in your sin, you should be sore afraid of meeting God. Then I want you to notice, thirdly, there was the consolation they enjoyed. Look at verse 9 and 10. As the shepherds trembled before the Lord, the angels testified to their souls. The angels said unto them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. The fear not of the gospel. You've had it revealed. There's a God in heaven. It's been impressed upon your heart. You've felt the fear and tremble of conviction of sin. And you have a concern about what it means to appear before God in your sin and the judgment that it will bring. I tell you, there's a fear not from heaven for you. There's good tidings. It's good tidings, the good tidings of the gospel. And it's not just to the Jews, it's to all people. It's not just to the shepherds at Jerusalem, it's to all people. It's not just to the rich, it's to all people. It's to the poor, humble shepherds. And I tell you, these good tidings, they're for you. That's the comfort of the gospel. Although you have sinned and you're worthy of judgment, there's good news. And that good news, you'll notice, the good news of the angel centered upon the person and the work of Christ. For unto you who are troubled, unto you who are fearful in your sin, unto you who are troubled about meeting God in your sin, unto you is born a Savior, one who will take your sin away. One who will pardon your soul. One who will reconcile you to God. One who will remove the fear and give you peace with God. Unto you is born this day in the city of David, of David's royal line. His father was of David's line. And had it not been for Israel's sin and apostasy, Joseph would have been king of Judah. That shows what sin does. For the one that should have sat on the throne was a carpenter in Nazareth. Because of Israel's apostasy, God sent them in to servitude in Babylon, the captivity. When he brought them back, there was no king. Joseph was of David's line, and Mary, Luke chapter 3, you'll read Mary's genealogy. It goes right back to Adam, because it goes back to the seed of the woman. I'm off track here, but isn't it so interesting? You read of Joseph's pedigree in Matthew chapter 1, and it goes back to Abram. You read of Mary's genealogy in Luke chapter 3, it goes back to Adam and Eve, because the Messiah was to be the seed of the woman. But it was the seed of the woman through David's line and Mary. I'm going from memory here. Mary's line can be traced to David's son Nathan, whereas Joseph's line in Matthew chapter 1 is traced through Solomon. The city of David, Bethlehem, of David's line, Abram's seed, of the seed of the woman, there is born unto you a Saviour. That's the news. Jesus Christ, born of Mary, led in the manger, lived in, well, it was Egypt, and then it was Nazareth, brought up in the carpenter's home, ministered for 3 years, died on the cross. He's a Saviour of man. And he's a Saviour for you. And what did this consoling, comforting news do to the shepherds when they heard of the Saviour? It tells us in verse 15, when the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing." They sought and searched out for the Lord. And that's what you must do. That's what the sinner must do. And having God revealed, feeling conviction of soul, hearing the good news that there's a Saviour to make you right with God and take away your sin, you must seek the Lord and live. Seek Him while He may be found. Seek Him in faith. And the soul that seeks Him, I tell you, will find Him. Look at verse 16. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe. They find Christ, and the promise is that if you seek Christ, you'll find Him. There's none that has truly sought Him, that hasn't found His salvation and His peace. And then hearing that comforting news of the gospel, I exhort you to take the step of salvation and seek the Lord while He may be found. Oh, the revelation that they encountered, the trepidation or fear they experienced, the consolation that they enjoyed. I want you to notice fourthly this morning, the declaration that they expressed. Now look at verse 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. What was the saying that was made about Christ? It was the saying of the angels in verse 11. There is born unto you this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ or Messiah the Lord. And what did they do? They went and they told each one that they met that they had revealed to them that Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary, was the Messiah, the Christ child, and that He had come into this world to be the Saviour. And they told it abroad. Look at verse 18. And all that heard it, they heard it from the shepherds. This is nothing less than a public confession of the shepherds' faith in Jesus Christ as the Saviour of sinners and the Messiah promised to come into the world to be the Saviour of the world. God revealed Him. Their soul was convicted. They sought and they found Him. And now they publicly confessed and declared that they had found the Saviour. That's God's order. Romans 10, verse 10. I remember on Sunday school as a wee boy learning there was a chorus. Romans 10 and 9 is a favourite verse of mine. I can't remember the rest of the words, but I remember that bit. Romans 10 and 9 is a favourite verse of mine. And it went on to quote the verse. But in Romans 10 verse 10, we read this: "For with the heart man believeth, and with the mouth confession is made." That's God's order. Faith cometh by hearing. We hear the gospel. We're convicted of our sin. We believe the gospel in our heart. We're saved by grace. We're regenerated by the Spirit. And then we publicly confess. We let it be known by our lifestyle and by our lips that we believe in Jesus Christ as the Messiah and Savior of the world and of our souls. And that's what the shepherds did. Do you remember the demonic of Gadara? That's what he did. For the Lord told him he wanted to follow the Lord in his ministry throughout the towns and the cities of Judea and Jerusalem and Israel. The Lord said, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for you and hath had compassion or mercy upon you." And he went and told abroad the things the Lord had done for him. My friend, if you are saved, the Lord may never call you to be a preacher or a missionary, but he does call you by your lifestyle, living in conformity to God's word, and by your profession that you are a child of God. There's no hiding in the Lord's army. We're with and for the Lord, and we will declare it and make it known that we're standing with Jesus. The declaration that they expressed. And then I want you to notice the fifth step of conversion, the jubilation they evidenced. Because now I want you to notice verse 20, and we're drawing to a close, but I want you to notice this in verse 20. "And the shepherds returned." What did they return to? They returned to their sheep. They returned to their employment. The Lord didn't call these shepherds to be apostles or prophets or preachers. The angels appeared to them. They revealed to them the truth in Christ. They were drawn to Christ. They sought Christ. They experienced faith in Christ. They declared it abroad and they went back to their sheep. They went back to their lives and their employments. And I underline that point again. Not every Christian will be called to be a preacher or a minister or a missionary. But in going back to our employment, those that are saved, and as they go back to their daily lives, what does it say? They returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. They had a joy in their heart at the message of the gospel, and they praised and they glorified the Lord. Let me say to you in closing this morning, when God saves you, He gives you a joy and a jubilation and a praise in your heart, and you rejoice in the message of the gospel. It's a glad thing, the hymn writer said, to be a Christian. The joy of the Lord is your strength. This idea that the Christian life is dull, it's boring, There's no joy or happiness or satisfaction in it. It's the lie of the devil. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. And I tell you, when you trust the Lord and you experience and you meet the Christ of God in faith and He takes away your sin and He gives you assurance of salvation, you'll be as those people described in the Old Testament. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. And you'll have a joy in your soul that you'll want to praise and worship the Lord and glorify Him. Your experience will be as the psalmist. In Psalm 40, when He takes you out of the horrible pit and the miry clay and sets your feet upon the rock, He'll put a new song in your mouth. Even praise unto our God, many shall see it and shall fear and shall trust in the Lord. May that be our testimony, that we will have lives that are joyful and thankful about receiving the gospel. You know, as we go on in the Christian life, and I'm going to say this in closing because I wouldn't want you thinking I was any different, but you know, as we go on in the Christian life, there are many things that we see that we maybe complain about and we mumble about and we moan about. And this preacher is no different. We're all the same. We're men and women subject to like passions. And we're afflicted by the old nature to the day we get to heaven. But I want to tell you this. There's times whenever we're in the midst of our mumbling and our moaning and our complaining, we need to take a step back and we need to remember the gospel of Jesus Christ. Out of the multitudes in their sin, the Lord revealed Himself to you and to me. And He drew you to seek the Lord, and He took away your sin and He gave you peace with God. And that, no matter what we think about the present situation in our country or our land, what we think about our denomination or our church or other Christians, that thought always gladdens your heart. Jesus Christ is my Savior. He has taken away my sin. I'm a child of God. And it should move us to live a life of praise and thanksgiving and joy expressed towards the Lord. May that new song of joy and thanksgiving in our heart be manifested for all to see, that many shall see it and shall fear and shall come to trust in the Lord. I want to close this morning by asking you the question. I said we were preaching on the shepherds. The 5 points, they're the picture of a converted sinner. 5 steps of conversion. Have you experienced them? Are you saved? Have you been born again? Has God revealed Himself to you? Have you experienced conviction of sin, what it means to be a sinner before God, lost and undone? Have you heard the soothing consolation to your soul? Fear not, Christ is a Savior for all who will seek Him. Have you sought Him? Have you declared, I'm a child of God? Have you taken the place of a Christian? And have you the joy of the Lord in your heart? The 5 steps of conversion. In the experience of the shepherds, I trust that you have experienced it too. May God bless His word to all of our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. Just as we bow in prayer, I don't want to take away from God's word, but can I ask, remember the routine as we leave. Do keep your distance. And can I ask you please, just as the weeks go by, do please endeavour to keep your distance in the pews when we're sitting through the service. That doesn't obviously apply to families or those bubbled together, but let's try and keep to the various guidelines as best as we can. Our gracious Heavenly Father, accept of our thanks for Thy word to our hearts this morning. Save the lost. Give them the shepherd's experience. And oh God, we pray that we who are thy children will ever rejoice and be glad that your grace has found us and enlightened us and shook us in our sin and led us to faith in Christ to seek the Saviour. And we pray that the joy of the Lord will be evident in our lives until the day and hour you take us home to be with yourself for all eternity. Bless us, take us our separate ways in safety, gather us again tonight in thy house. And Lord, in the coming days and weeks, keep thy hand of safety upon all thy dear children. And Lord, in the midst of this pandemic that seems to be getting worse, Lord, we pray that thou will keep thy hand upon thy people. Watch over us, protect us, and preserve us. And let no evil thing come nigh our dwelling. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.